Psalm 84. Let's read this psalm together, and then we'll have a quick word of prayer. And we start our new series tonight, A Heart for God, and kind of an introductory message tonight, the importance of identifying a heart for God. Psalm 84. The psalmist said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon our Bible study tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us for these next several minutes just to block out the cares of the day and to just focus on your word, that we, Holy Spirit, as you speak to our hearts, that we would be sensitive to your leading and to your guiding. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here tonight, and to thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the eternal life that we have through the shed blood of Jesus. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you notice on your handout, just a few words that I put to get us started here. Not really my words, words that I read this past week and wanted you to see. But a writer said this, "Desiring a heart for God does not come naturally. It's a battleground between the flesh and the spirit, the old nature and the new nature. But to win the battle, it must begin with identifying and developing a true heart for God." 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." So it was the Lord that reached out to us to save us. Amen? The Bible says He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. But you and I, when we've responded to the gospel message and we've received Christ as our Savior, developing or identifying a heart for God isn't something that just kind of automatically takes place. And one of the reasons for this Bible study is this. It's been my observation through the years that if a person doesn't identify or if they don't develop a heart for God, there's a real chance that they'll backslide or they'll walk away from the faith. A lot of times, now listen, this is important. A lot of times, people will develop a heart for their church. And that's a good thing. But there is no substitute in developing a heart for God. Sometimes, people will develop a heart even for the leadership of the church. But there is no substitute for developing a heart for God. Sometimes people will develop a heart for the brothers and sisters in the church. The social aspect of it. And there's really nothing per se wrong with that, except if that becomes more important than developing a heart for God. Sometimes, I've seen it here, you can have building projects, and sometimes you will get people who will develop a heart for the building project. I was reading a book by Paul Chappell, who that church runs in the thousands now. But he took that church in Lancaster, California, with just a handful of people, and that has always been his motivation for the church, to get the people to develop a heart for God. Interestingly enough, I didn't know this until this past week, every building project that the church has ever done, they hired it out to contractors. And his reason was, he didn't want the people to develop a heart for the building project. He wanted the people to develop a heart for God. It's so important. And it's an ongoing process through our entire walk with the Lord until we get to heaven. So three things that I have on your handout with several subpoints that we find here in the psalm that David wrote. First, we realize this. We learn this from David. David had a heart that felt the need for God's presence. A heart that felt the need for God's presence. Now, we're not sure, most Bible teachers aren't sure when David wrote this. Some believe David wrote this psalm when he was in exile, when he was either running from King Saul, who was trying to kill him, or maybe from his own son, who rebelled against him and was trying to hunt his father down. But he was not at Jerusalem. He was away from Jerusalem. And of course, in Jerusalem is where the tabernacle was. Verse 1, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." This first subpoint where there's a fill in the blank is this: David's desire for God. David's desire for God. What does the word amiable mean? That's a word we don't often use, but the psalmist used it. Speaking of thy tabernacles, he said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles?" Anybody know? No, that's a good guess though. Friendly. How friendly. That's what the word amiable means. Friendly or kindly or lovable or kind. That word can be used in any of those in the context. So David, as he's developing this heart for God, there was always in David's life a need for the presence of God. Just think, even as a child, even as a young man, maybe not as a, I'm thinking of David and Goliath. And David knew that when he took on Goliath, just as a young boy, probably early in his teens, that God's presence would be with him because David had developed through his life the presence of God. You remember there in the account when they put the armor on David and it was King Saul's armor and it was so heavy that David couldn't move. So he said, "Listen, as a shepherd boy, when a bear came and tried to take away my sheep, God was with me. And when a lion came and tried to take away my sheep, God was with me. And as I take on Goliath, I'll also experience the presence of God." So the presence of God, David had a heart for the presence of God. So he says that in verses 1 and 2. He's desiring to be back in Jerusalem, to be at the place of worship, the tabernacle. He says, look at verse 2. "My soul, it longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." He had that desire. "My heart and my flesh, it crieth out for the living God." Elsewhere, David would say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, if you remember from the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and then after that would be the temple, after that was built, but that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the glory of God was. That's where the Israelites would go to worship. That's where there was a true manifestation a presence of God. And David longed for that. He missed out for that. He crieth, the Bible says, for that. Just look over, go over to Psalm 92 and look at verse 13. Psalm 92, verse 13. David would say this, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God, of our God. Those that be planted in the house of our Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Pastor Ethan on Sunday, I forget whether it was during the Sunday school hour, actually I think it was during the, maybe it was during the morning message, he was exhorting us as a church of the importance of gathering and coming together in God's house and gathering with God's people. That's part of developing a need for God's presence in our lives. Now, what's different today, though, is this, where in the Old Testament, there the very presence of God was at the tabernacle and then at the temple. But today, if you notice on your handout a couple of verses, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So this verse, really, if you look at the context of it, it's a reference, really, not to just you personally, it's a reference to the body of Christ coming together collectively. In other words, here we all are tonight. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you right now. And so just as in David's day when he went to the tabernacle, there was the glory of God. Today, right here and now, you and I together, we're experiencing the presence of God. God is in our midst, because He indwells each and every one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then notice 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul writes this on your handout. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now the context of this is not you and I collectively. The context of this is you and I individually. You understand what I'm saying? So in one reference, it's the body coming together to worship. That's why it's important in a local church for the purity of the local church. That's why Jesus instituted church discipline. In a sense, this is the place where God's people meet, because this is the place where God is. He's indwelling in each of us. But then personally, we're also the temple of God. God resides in each one of us. And so you and I, as the temple of God individually, while we have His presence, do we desire that presence? Are we recognizing, are we developing that presence? David was dealing with this in Psalm 84. When he said this, my flesh, at the end of verse 2, it crieth out for the living God. It's the second subpoint. David had an intensity for God, the living God. He goes on and he says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He's our King. Amen? He is the King. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. We are His subjects. And he goes on and he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. As Ethan said the other day, there is no substitute for God's people gathering together. The local church, what we're doing here tonight, and what we do Sunday morning, and what we do Sunday night, I've said this many, many times, this is not man's idea. This is God's idea. This is God's instruction. This is the way God planned it. When you're coming to church, when you're gathering with other believers, You are fulfilling the plan of God. It is part of a heart that felt the need for God's presence. That desire that David had, that's a desire that when you and I come, we should desire, God, what are you going to say to me today? What do you want to teach me today? But not only, by the way, is that true here when we gather as a group of believers, but how about each and every day of the week? How about as you open up the Scriptures and Lord willing, you spend a little time in the Scriptures? That's a heart that needs God's presence. I mean, for me personally, when I open up my Bible during the day just to have my devotions, not to put a sermon together or lessons together, but just my devotions, it's just so I can spend some time in the presence of God, just so I have His Word in front of me. David felt that way. I mean, you don't write, we all understand, we should at least, that everything that's in the Bible is the inspired Word of God, meaning that the Holy Spirit moved upon men to write the Word of God. But as David, I mean, so much of the Old Testament, the Psalms, were written by David as he meditated and he thought about the things of God. He just needed the presence of God in his life. So our challenge tonight, when we identify a heart for God, we have to ask ourselves, do we feel that we need to experience God's presence every day? It's not just for Sunday, but every day. That's developing a heart for God. That's developing a need for His presence. The intensity that David had for the living God and the desire that David had for God. But then notice this too. David also had a heart that's fixed on God. David had a heart that was fixed upon God. Look, if you will, in verse number 5. Verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. You and I, we need to determine to fix our hearts on godliness. Verse 5. The word fix there at the end of verse 5, or the idea of fix in verse 5, is the idea of being steadfast and being established and being stayed upon God. Now, Isaiah chapter 26:3 says this, Thou will keep him in perfect peace. How does the rest of the verse go? Many of you know it. Yeah, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's the same word. You're fixed upon God. And you're fixed upon the things of God. So not only did David feel that he had a heart that felt he had a need for God's presence, he wanted to experience God all the time. But to do that, his heart had to be fixed upon God. He had to let God establish his heart, bring that steadfastness. And here's where it really is important. We need to move beyond feeling the need for God's presence, and we need to fix our hearts on experiencing His presence every day. What I mean by that is, when you hear the preacher preach the message of the importance of being fixed upon God, and you can walk away and say, yeah, I need to be fixed upon God. We need to move beyond thinking about it, and we need to put the thoughts into action. Two scriptures in the Psalms, Psalm 108 and verse 1. O God, my heart, David said, is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Let me just stop there. By the way, if David wanted to return to the tabernacle to worship and praise God, his heart had to be fixed on a particular place, on a particular destination. That was the tabernacle. Wherever David was, he knew where the tabernacle was. If he was to the east, the west, the north, or the south of the tabernacle, David knew that the manifestation of God was in Jerusalem, there at the and the Shekinah glory of God was fixed there. He was focused there. And you and I, we need to be focused on the things of God, fixed on the things of God. Just like a navigator fixes a point on the map, and he's got to head for that point if he wants to make it. He can't say, well, I know that there's a fixed point, and then not abide by the charts and by the maps. It's a fixed point as we develop a heart for God. David also said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So, if we're going to identify a heart for God, we have to recognize that we need God's presence in our life. We need to experience God's presence. Now, again, not to be redundant, but God is always present with us. But the point is, are we recognizing His presence? I guess in David's situation, it would be like if he went to the tabernacle and he just didn't really experience or the presence of God there. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like going to church, but you just kind of go through the motions and then you leave church. No, when you come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, you ought to be expecting and hoping to experience the presence of God. But your heart has to be fixed upon God, moving beyond the feeling for the need and experiencing His presence. Spurgeon said this about this text. He said, neither prayer, nor praise, nor the hearing of the word will be profitable to persons who have left their hearts behind them. You get that? Neither prayer nor praise nor the hearing of the word will be profitable to persons who have left their hearts behind them. Why do people become dull of hearing? Well, there's a good indication when you become dull of hearing for the word of God, it's because your heart has become cold and indifferent to God. Why does our prayer life become meaningless? Well, our prayer life is always contingent upon the heart that we have for God. Why does our singing become lifeless? Because we don't have a heart for God. A heart for God is not something that comes naturally. There's a battle. So, we have to determine to fix our hearts on godliness, living a godly life. But the second fill in the blank here is we have to develop a strategy for godliness. Develop a strategy. What is your strategy for keeping your heart close to the Lord? Do you even think about that? Do you even think about it? And it doesn't matter who you are. Listen, this is true for a pastor. It's true for everyone. Developing a strategy for a heart that's fixed on God. Developing a strategy for godliness. Look here in verse number 8. The Bible says that David said, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. So part of his strategy was a prayer life. Just talking with God each day. Let me just stop here and challenge you. Listen. This is the basics. If you do not have a prayer life with God each day, your heart cannot be practicing the presence of God. Your heart cannot be fixed upon God. It just can't be. That's how we communicate so much with the Lord. David had a strategy. Do you have a strategy? Part of David's strategy was his prayer time. It's just talking with God. Look at verse 9. He says this, part of this strategy. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Part of his strategy was to get behind the Lord and the Lord and the shield of God. You know, Paul talks about the shield of faith. But when we get behind the Lord and we look at the Lord and we understand the shield that He is to us for all that we face in this world, we're going to live a God. Listen, Satan fires fiery darts at us constantly. We've got to have a strategy to defend ourselves against that. Or else he'll knock our faith and knock our faith and knock our faith. David had a strategy for that. David was always going through difficulties. David was always going through trials. David, when David took his eyes off the Lord and was not fixed upon God, that's when he sinned with Bathsheba. But he had to have a strategy to get back into a right relationship with the Lord. He let down the shield, if you will. And then notice in verse 10, "For a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I love this verse. I memorized this verse many years ago. "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather have the lowest spot, if you will, and serve God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked and have the highest spot. Just a humble servant of God. That's a heart of humility. That's having a heart fixed upon God. So humility manifests itself when we understand I need God's presence each and every day. I need to experience it. I need to keep my eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I need a strategy. I need to be a person of prayer. I need to be a person of faith. I need to be a person who's in the house of God, sitting under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Because that's how God designed it. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 on your handout. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in it he shall meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We need to develop a strategy for godliness, and it starts with the Word of God and learning the Word of God and being taught the Word of God and respecting the Word of God and respecting God's house and respecting the teaching of God's Word. Are you developing a strategy for godliness? David understood that. Well, then lastly, we need a heart that follows God. Look at verse 6. David said, well, I'll start with verse 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." The valley of Baca was a valley that was very dry and very desolate. And in order to get to Jerusalem, you'd have to pass through that valley. It was a fatiguing place. Baca actually means the valley of weeping. And David reminds us that there are going to be times in our lives where we're passing through the valley of weeping, the difficult place. It's a dry place. It's a challenging place. It's a fatiguing place. David understood that. But when we develop a heart for God, God sees us through that. And I'm afraid sometimes when folks go through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, if they haven't developed and practiced and cultivated a heart for God and the things of God, They get discouraged. They get worn out. But David said this. He spoke of the wells of Baca and the rain also that filleth the pools. He knew that although that valley was a very dry and a very desolate place, there were places, there were wells to get a drink. There were pools where there was water to be refreshed. And along the way, as we experience God's presence and we keep our eyes fixed upon God and develop that in our hearts, and we wherever God leads us, that's okay. We just follow God. They go from strength to strength. The first filling would be God's provision that God provides. Through thick and thin, God provides. We just have to trust in God's provision. And then David understood this, that he would trust in God's protection. Many, many times David needed God's protection. Verses 8 and 9. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear. Behold, our God, there it is again, our shield. He understood that he needed God to protect him, to watch over him. And then these great promises at the end of this, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. These are the promises of God. That God's promises are true and God's promises are good. But if we're not going to practice His presence, then we're going to miss out often on the promises of God. If we're not going to keep our eyes fixed upon Him, we're going to miss out on the promises and the protection and the provision of God. He'll withhold no good thing to them that walk uprightly. The bottom of your handout, well-known verses in the Scriptures, but David reminded us this in the 23rd Psalm. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's like the valley of Baca, I will fear no evil. Well, why? For Thou art with me. Everywhere you read in the Psalms, you see David just practicing the presence of God. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was always, always, always looking for the presence of God in his life. Always keeping his eyes fixed upon Him. Always being sensitive to where is God now leading me. That's developing a heart for God, first and foremost. We get saved, we ask Jesus to be our Savior, we invite Him into our heart, and then as we practice these simple principles here, He truly becomes our King. He truly becomes the Lord of our life. He truly becomes who He desires to be. So think about these tonight. Think about these each and every day of the week. Think about Psalm 84. I'd encourage you throughout the week just to read Psalm 84 and think about these truths that are found here and then make application to your life. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that You'd bless our prayer time now. And Lord, truly now we do come into Your presence to the throne room of heaven. We're thankful for the privilege that You give us to do this. We know that it's not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We ask Your blessing now as we pray. Answer each of these prayer requests according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.